And he promises that this deliverance will come through the preaching of the gospel, by the voices of the watchmen, these watchmen who set forth the great Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Of course, this is a fitting introduction to the 53rd chapter, which I think would most probably, it should begin at verse 13 of chapter 52. But be that as it may, the verses from chapter 52, verse 13, through the end of chapter 53 are about our Savior. And so this is a good introduction that Isaiah is given by God to speak to his troubled people, to speak to the Lord's people who are weary, who are tempted, who are tried. And he speaks words of peace, words of consolation. It's obvious in this passage of Scripture, even as the passage that Brother Bill read to us earlier, that God's servants are set forth as being watchmen. You notice verse 8. Thy watchman shall lift up the voice. Thy watchman shall lift up the voice. These servants of the Lord, they watch for the people of God. And the scripture says in the 7th verse that the voices of these men, they sound out a message of good tidings. They publish peace. They bring good tidings of good. They publish salvation. And they say unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And it is because of the message that these men deliver that they're said to have beautiful feet. Now we know this, there is but one great messenger of the covenant, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, he has beautiful feet. Because the feet that carried him through his journey in this world, they were the feet of the Son of God. He went everywhere preaching the gospel. He went up on the mountains bringing good tidings. He went forth publishing peace. He went forth preaching good tidings of good. He went forth publishing salvation. And indeed our Savior went forth saying to Zion, thy God reigneth. He has the most beautiful feet of all. And those beautiful feet were once nailed to a cross. As our Savior hung there between heaven and earth, as our substitute, and as our Savior. And we behold his feet by faith, even as we behold his hands and his side. We behold the wounds that he bears. We behold by faith the blood that he shed. We behold his substitutionary death. And we say upon the authority of the Word of God, there's our salvation. There's our redemption in the death of our great Savior, who is himself the watchman over God's people. Thank God we have a watchman who is almighty. A watchman who never sleeps. You see, the watchman in Israel, and in other places as well, the watchmen in Jerusalem, they sat up on the gates at night. They sat up on the walls and they watched out for danger. Is not that our Lord? Doesn't he watch out for his people? Aren't we always safe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he watches after us. He is the watchman. He is the watchman. He's the one who brings the good message of salvation to us. He's the one who assures us, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And He's always on the watch for us. He's always looking out for our best interests. And He's making all things in each of the lives of His people to work together for our good and to fulfill His eternal purpose. But we know also that those men that He sends forth preaching the gospel, these are His watchmen. His watchmen. I said last week from Romans chapter 10 that these watchmen are sent. The scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on Him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? God sends forth His watchmen. He sends them forth to men and women and young people. They go forth with the message of God. And as the gospel of God's grace goes forth, miraculously, God speaks through the Word. He speaks to His people. Notice verses 5 and 6 of Isaiah 52. The Lord says, now therefore, what have I here? Saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught. They that rule over them make them the how, saith the Lord. My name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. He is going to introduce Himself to His people. He's going to make sure that we know His name. We're going to know Him. We shall all know the Lord. That's what the gospel promise is. Therefore they shall know Him that day that I am He that does speak. Behold, it is I. Or literally, here I am. Here I am. And oh, blessed day it is when God the Spirit deals with us using the gospel of God's grace as the watchman sends forth the Word of God. And all of a sudden the things of the gospel become clear to us. And we see ourselves as undeserving of the least of God's mercies. And we see the Lord high and lifted up. Like Isaiah, His train filled the temple. And then we say by the leadership of the Spirit of God, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm undone. Is there no hope for me? Is there somebody who can help me? Is there somebody who can restore me to God? And then the Lord Jesus comes to us and He says to us, behold, here I am, here I am. That's literally what those last words, behold, it is I. Literally He's saying, behold, here I am. Who will restore me to favor with God? Who will put away my sins? Who will make me righteous with God? Who can save my poor soul? And the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us through the preaching of the gospel. And He says, behold, here I am. Here I am. I'm the Savior you need. I'm the Redeemer who saved His people from their captivity by redeeming you from the curse of the law. Behold, here I am. Here I am. And then He says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. That bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, to Zion, who is Zion? Who is Zion? That's God's elect. That's God's people. That's that remnant according to the election of grace. These are the ones that God chose out of mankind, out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tribe, out of every tongue. These are His people. His people. And His people shall hear this message. Zion. Zion, that's the group that God loves. It's all of the Jacobs of the world. We're called the sons of Jacob. We said this morning, quoting the Lord there in Romans chapter 9, which comes right out of Malachi. The Lord said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. All of us Jacobs, fallen Jacobs. We're a bunch of scoundrels, aren't we? We're crooked. We're perverse in our mind, in our imaginations, and in our religious ways and thoughts. We're all distorted. We're like Jacob. We're trying to get a claim for ourselves. But the Lord sends us good news of glad tidings. We're Zion. He's got something to say to Zion. He has something to say to His people. Bless the name of God. He always has good things to say to Zion. Zion is always the recipient of good news. The Lord has never delivered to Zion any bad news. Did you know that? God has never delivered to Zion any bad news. And indeed, with Zion, there is no bad news. I like what Brother Richardson said, Brother Scott Richardson, years ago. He said, I haven't heard any bad news ever since I heard the good news. The good news of redemption. The good news of reconciliation. The good news of the forgiveness of sins. Anything else you tell me, it's not news at all. Oh, the doctor says, oh, you're dying of some awful disease. Oh, I'll see my Savior then. I'll see the one who redeemed me then. Oh, you've got heart disease. Oh, you've got this problem. You've got that problem. Oh, things are happening in the financial world and all of your investments in your retirement has gone down the drain. That's okay. I have an inheritance in the heavenlies that'll never fade away. There is no bad news. There's no bad news for the people of God. God only has good news for Zion. For Zion. What is the message that God's watchmen bring to Zion? Well, they bring a message of deliverance. Deliverance from sin. Deliverance from Satan. Deliverance from the curse of the law. Those of you who are God's people, I bring you a message of deliverance tonight. He sets the captives free. He sets the captives free. I bring you good tidings from God, from your Father. And you know what He says to you? I'm not mad at you. But Lord, I've broken all of your laws. I'm a vile sinner from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And He says, I have no wrath for you. There's no judgment for you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Why not? Because the condemnation has been borne by the Son of God Himself. God's not mad at you. He never has been. Oh, sometimes He hides His face from us that we might seek Him more earnestly and more desperately. But believe the Word of God. He's always there for us and He's not upset with us because He sees us in His Son. He sees us in Christ Jesus. And this is the one with whom He's always pleased. He's always pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the life of Christ and the death of Christ, the obedience of Christ, it's been imputed to our accounts. We stand perfect and righteous in Him before God. He sees us in His Son. We bring a message of deliverance. The watchmen bring good tidings from God to men. I have nothing but good news for Zion. I come publishing peace. I'm not here to tell you how you can make peace with God. I'm here to tell you peace has already been made with God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the blood of His cross. I'm here to tell you He is our peace. He is my peace. I'm here to give you this message that God has never looked to you for anything, any facet or any part of your salvation whatsoever. He's always looked to your substitute. Isn't that good news? Isn't that wonderful? That you say, well, I tell you, I just can't do anything. Well, it's a good thing God doesn't look to us for anything then, isn't it? He doesn't look to us for anything. But preacher, don't we believe Him? Yes, and He gives us faith to believe Him. But don't we repent? Yes, and repentance is a gift of God. Everything that's good, everything that's right, He gives it to us. He gives it to us. We bring good tidings of good things. What good things? Forgiveness of all sins, past, present, future. Blood atonement. Reconciliation. Justification. Everlasting glory. And we publish salvation. Salvation purposed by God. Salvation purchased by God. Salvation performed by God. And someday salvation perfected by God. The watchmen do this. Now what about these watchmen? Well, I'll tell you this first of all, and this is pretty obvious. These watchmen, they're men. They're watchmen. They're not watchwomen. We're thankful for the ladies. I appreciate my sisters in the Lord. And you make great contributions in the house of God. You're prayerful for us. You're contributors. Your very presence is an encouragement to me as your pastor. But you're not a preacher. You can't be a preacher. Because watchmen are just that. They're men. They're men. The woman is the weaker vessel. The weaker vessel. What about these watchmen? They speak faithfully the Word of God. We warn people. I had Bill read for us in Ezekiel chapter 33. I warn you of danger. Consider yourself warned. There's a judgment to face. You must be righteous. You must have a mediator. You must have a Savior. You must have a great high priest. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. You're a vile sinner, whether you admit it or not. You still are. There is but one place of safety, and that's in Christ Jesus the Lord. When Noah went about preaching for 120 years, he was building an ark. The flood is coming. The storm is coming. And you know, ever since our Lord went back to glory, even during the days of the Apostle John, he wrote something like this, "The Lord's coming is nigh." It's near. And by faith we see the storm clouds gathering. There is a judgment that men must face. There's the flood of God's wrath that is coming. It's just as sure as that was a real literal flood in the days of Noah. So there's a real literal judgment coming in which men must stand before the judgment seat of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is but one place of safety, the ark, Christ Jesus. Come into the ark. Come into the ark. The door of the ark is open for all who want mercy, who want grace, for all who are made willing in the day of God's power. Come into the ark of God's salvation. You say, well, maybe a more convenient day. I'll give some serious thought to these things somewhere down the line, but not now. consider yourself warned. The watchman has warned you. That's what watchmen do. They faithfully declare the word of God. And it says here, if you'll look down, look at verse 8, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. They're not timid. They're bold. They're bold. And they're not, we don't want to be obnoxious. But listen, we're not going to hold back the truth. We're going to tell it to you the way it is. With boldness. And with the voice together they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. All of God's preachers see eye to eye on the major points, on the gospel, and on the major points of doctrine of the Word of God. There's some minor points wherein God's preachers, the watchmen, may differ, especially consider maybe the subject of ecclesiology, how a church should be run. Something like that, or prophetic matters, maybe something like that. But all of God's preachers see eye to eye on how God saves sinners. Amen. There is no difference. There's no difference. We speak together as though with one voice. With one voice, and we're all rejoicing in the message of grace. We see eye to eye in all things essential to the salvation of our souls, in things related to the salvation of God's people. And all of God's watchmen, we watch for your souls. We watch for your souls. Read at your leisure Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey those that have the rule over you. Talking about spiritual rule. For they watch for your soul. They pray for you. I seek God's face for you. I seek God's mercy for you. I bear you upon my heart. Not as much as I should. And I'm certainly not elevating myself as though I'm the example of what a preacher is. I'm not saying that at all. But every preacher of the gospel, every real watchman, he bears the burden of the souls of his congregation upon his heart. And he seeks God's face, and he says, oh God, show these people mercy. These who sit and listen and don't seem to have any interest. Oh God, help the young people. Deal in mercy with the young people of our congregation. Oh God, bring us that we may all look to Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And Lord, our children and our grandchildren, those who maybe were raised in this congregation and now they've gone out into the world and they haven't come back. Oh God, bring them back. This is the burden of the watchman. We watch for the souls of men and women and young people. That's why it says obey them. Now the very fact that God has placed watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem, Jerusalem being the kingdom of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, indicates that there are dangers to be avoided. Go over to chapter 56. Chapter 56 of Isaiah. And we're certain that the eternal purpose of God and the salvation of His people cannot be defeated. God will save His people from their sins. He has already saved them in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved. And we rejoice to know that God gathers His people through the voices of the watchmen as people hear the preaching of the cross. The Lord speaks of various kinds of people being gathered in here in chapter 56. And look what He says to these who will be gathered in verse 5. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name. God gives us a place in His kingdom. And He gives us a name better than of sons and of daughters. He gives us a name that's better and higher than the names of the sons and daughters of kings and prime ministers and presidents. Because we're the children of God. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And look at verse 6. Also the sons of the stranger that joined themselves to the Lord to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of My covenant. Who is the Sabbath? Christ Jesus. We rest in Him. We take hold of the covenant. And we say like David in 2 Samuel 23. He said, this is all of My salvation, this covenant. Verse 7, he says, even them will I bring to My holy mountain and make them joyful in My house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon Mine altar. For Mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people, for all kinds of people. Look at verse 8. The Lord God which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, and that's what we are. Isn't that right? We're the outcasts of Israel. He said, yet will I gather others to Him besides those that are gathered unto Him. The Lord is gathering His people. You say, what is the Lord doing today? Is the Lord active today? Is the Lord moving today? Is the Lord working today? Oh yes, through the preaching of the watchman, He's gathering His people into the fold of salvation. He's gathering the lost sheep back into the fold. The shepherd is gone forth. He has laid down His life for the sheep. And now He's seeking and finding and saving and rescuing and picking up the lost sheep and putting them on His shoulders. He's taking them all the way home to glory. He's gathering the outcasts. And isn't it wonderful to be one of those that He's gathered? He's gathered us. But be sure of this. Where the Lord is working through the preaching of the watchman, Satan will also be active. Because he has his servants. He has his servants. Look at verse 9. All ye beasts of the field, you come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts in the forest. Look at verse 10. This is what the Lord says of Satan's watchman. You see, Satan is the great counterfeiter. That's what he does. And we're not surprised because Satan himself, he transforms himself into an angel of light. And therefore his ministers, his watchmen, they also masquerade. That's what the word transformed means. They masquerade as ministers of righteousness. Of course, they're not the ministers of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're ministers of man's righteousness. And this is what the Lord says of the watchmen of Satan. His watchmen are blind. Well, what kind of a watchman can a man be if he's blind? Because what's the job of the watchman? To be up on the wall, looking out? Do you see danger approaching? There's the watchman that watches over the folds of the sheep, or the sheep that have gathered together, the sheep that are feeding on the pastures, the watchman that is watching. Well, of what value is he if he's blind? If he's blind. A watchman of all people's got to have good sight. He's got to see danger approaching. He's got to discern the very presence of something that may be detrimental to the people of God. Satan's watchmen are blind. Our Lord said of the Pharisees, He said, they're blind guides. They're blind guides. He told His disciples of these blind guides, He said, leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. And you know the sad thing today? Throughout America, throughout this state, bring it nearer to home, throughout this city, blind guides are leading blind people into the ditch. That's a very sad thing. It's a very sad thing. They're blind to the character of God. They're blind to the sinfulness of men. They're blind to the only hope that men have, that is the substitutionary death of the Son of God. They're blind to the only way of salvation by the grace of God through Christ Jesus. They're blind to the necessity of the work of redemption. They're blind to their own corruption. They're blind to God's way of life and salvation, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. And watch this. He says they're not only blind, they're all ignorant. They're ignorant. They're a bunch of know-nothings. That's what they are. They're a bunch of know-nothings. Our Lord said in Mark chapter 12 and verse 24, Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err because you know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God? You don't know the Word of God. You don't know the power of God. Why don't these men preach the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace? Because they don't know the gospel. They're ignorant. They're ignorant. Why don't they set forth the wonders of God's amazing grace? Because they're ignorant of God's amazing grace. Why don't they proclaim the majesty and the greatness and the glories of Christ Jesus? Because they're ignorant of the majesty and the greatness and the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't tell what they don't know. They're ignorant. And he says this. They're dumb dogs. They can't bark. Here you got a sheepdog looking after the flock. And here comes a wolf. And the dog doesn't bark. I got something for him. One bullet. He's useless. He's useless. And this is what the Lord says of Satan's watchman. They're dumb dogs. They can't bark. They can't and won't set forth the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says they're sleeping. They're lying down. They're loving to slumber. That's Satan's watchman. Look at verse 11. Yea, they're greedy dogs which can never have enough. They can never have enough. Greedy. They want more. Like the guy I saw on television, he's already got a jet. He's got 3 or 4 vacation homes. And he said, God told me to tell you to send more money in because I need a bigger jet and a faster jet to fly around the world to distribute this word of the Lord. Well, it led me write a check to him. They're greedy. They're greedy. They want more. They want more. These are Satan's watchmen. They're shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. They're looking out for themselves. Everyone for his own gain from his quarter. They don't care about you. They don't care about the glory of God. They don't care about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They care about themselves. He says, come ye, say they, I'll fetch wine, we'll fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. That's the prosperity gospel of today. Everything's going to be fine. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's Satan's watchman, but not God's watchman. God's watchman warn. And go back to chapter 52. God's watchman. Here's what we set forth in verse 7 again. We bring good tidings. I bring you good tidings. Every time we gather, I bring you good tidings. From the Lord I publish peace that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Of all of the things that God's watchmen say, this is the foundational truth. Thy God reigneth. We talk about the purposes of God, the purpose of God in election, the purpose of God in predestination. We talk about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. We talk about all the promises of God found in the Bible. But God's purposes and God's promises are only as good as this fact right here. Thy God reigneth. If He doesn't reign, His purpose is no good. If He doesn't reign, what's the good of His promises? We stayed in a motel recently, and I picked up a Bible in the room. And it had a little column, and it said, Promises of the Word of God. And I was looking to some of the scriptures. I was glad that was in there. But all of God's promises mean absolutely nothing if this isn't true. Thy God reigneth. If He doesn't reign, how can the promise bring any comfort at all? And of course, we embrace that great promise of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we say, bless the name of God. All of these trials and these difficulties that I experience and that other people of God experience, all of these things and all of the other things in my life, they'll all work together for good. How do you know that? How can you be assured of that? We are assured of that because of this. We say to Zion, Thy God reigneth. He reigns to make all things work together for your good. He reigns to fulfill His purpose. He reigns. He reigns. Thy God reigneth. Thy God reigneth. I know there are many little G-O-D-S, little gods in the world. What was it? Was it Thursday? Was it the National Day of Prayer? People supposed to get together, you know. And they did. Even locally, people of different denominations have different beliefs and so forth. They preach different gospels. But they'll all come together and pray together. They're all praying to different gods. But I'll tell you, the God Zion prays to is the God that reigns. The God that reigns. A preacher told me he saw this on a church sign. God reigns. Let Him have His way. God reigns. Let Him have His way. That's the God of their religion. That's the God of their denomination. But the God of heaven and earth, He does His will among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? And my message to Zion tonight is, Thy God reigneth. Thy God reigneth. He doesn't want to reign. It's not like He's going to reign. But He does reign. He does. Yes, preacher, but what about the heathen? What about the heathen? Those that don't know our God, those who despise the name of Zion's God, they mock the things of the Lord. They have no use for the Word of God. What about them? Oh, Psalm 47 verse 8 says, God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. This is our abiding confidence, you see. In every situation, in every circumstance, in every land, listen up, O Zion, thy God reigneth. Psalm 146 and verse 10. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Therefore praise ye the Lord. Oh, this is a year of the elections. Local, state, and national elections. This is a year when people are in an uproar. So much anxiety. Well, I say to Zion, just sit back and watch the sovereign will of God come to pass. Because thy God reigneth. Now, should I vote? Yes. I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote. I should do that. And you should do that. But I know this. Our God reigns in all situations. And whoever goes to Washington, whoever becomes the president, whoever goes to our state capital, whoever is elected to the local offices, they will occupy those offices for this single, solitary reason. Thy God reigneth.
Amen.
Who is this one who reigns? He's Zion's God. He's Zion's Savior. Who said upon the basis of having successfully finished the work that the Father gave him to do, having lived and died and rose again before he ascended back to heaven, he told his disciples, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now you go preach the gospel. Our King reigns. He reigns. He must reign. He shall reign forever and ever. That's what the watchmen say. The watchmen don't lead you to feel sorry for Jesus. The watchmen, they don't tell you about a Jesus who needs you to vote for him. Vote Jesus into the office of your life. No, the watchmen tell you that the Lord reigns. He finished the work of redemption. He's taking care of Zion. And so all of the people of God should cease from being anxious. Stop worrying. Stop murmuring. Because I say to you on the authority of God's own word, I say to Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy God reigneth. Let's sing 221. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Number 221. Let's stand together.